Welcome to the Save the Such podcast. I'm Cliff Anderson.
Yo, yo, yo. It's your boy Trey.
Tariq Cole, we in here.
We in here. We excited to be here. Welcome to episode 3, part 2. Let's talk about sex. Today we got two special guests on. We're going to let them be introduced by.
So we got Miss Ashley Clater, all the way from Mississippi area. I've known Ashley for the longest since middle school, since 6th grade. We grew up together. I love this girl dearly. Basically like my right hand man. I could talk to her about anything. She's in nursing school right now. She's also building businesses on the side. I'm very proud of her. So got my homegirl Ashley Clater on the line. Who you got on the line, Reek?
I got my homie, Denitra Sally from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Representing 757. She goes to Old Dominion. I haven't known her that long, just about over a year maybe. But yeah, she's solid, man. I love her, man.
We're going to give y'all some claps for joining us today.
Definitely.
I gotta get my claps in every episode. So again, Ashley and Denitra, we're really excited that you guys are here today. Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining us today. And so y'all listened to the last episode?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ashley, what did you think of the last episode? Just any thoughts you want to share?
I think it was very juicy because y'all really hit on the high points.
Okay.
Juicy.
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 Denitra?
What did I think of the last episode?
Yeah.
Well, I really love Safe and Such, and it's just a great movement for millennial Christians. And I just love what y'all doing.
We appreciate that. Shout out.
Appreciate it.
Give them the claps again. They deserve it.
One more time for the top.
Give it to them.
That was a stadium full of people. So we're going to get right into episode 3, part 2. Let's talk about sex. So we got a list of questions for you guys. We just want you to answer honestly and freely. So our first question is, how was your sexual environment growing up? Like, how was sex presented to you in your environment, Ashley?
It was a very, like, something you just don't do. It really was no conversation about it. If you're not 30, if you're not married, if you're not grown, no man should be touching you. No sex.
Church.
That's how my parents were coming behind it.
Okay.
Straight like that.
Denisha?
Growing up, I mean, sex wasn't really talked about, honestly. I mean, I think it was my 11th grade year of high school when I had first got to talk about sex. But other than that, it wasn't really
talked about. Why do you think it wasn't talked about?
Because it was more expected to not. It's just something that they expected me not to do.
All right.
That makes sense.
Sounds like most parents.
Facts. Like, just don't do it. Especially black parents. We love saying, do as I say. Huh?
Right.
Do.
With no supporting details.
Right.
That's our favorite line.
You heard what I said, Shorty. That's cool, man. We appreciate that.
Ladies, I have a question for you guys. Did you guys both grow up into church?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Like, as far as, like, church, like, how was sex taught to you in church? I'll let Denitra answer first.
You know, I don't think that the church, like, really advocate sex. It was more of just, like, you know, just say no or not until you're married or just save yourself for someone that's special. And I feel as if it's way too often when people try to bring up sex in the church that people in the church usually just tell them to stop talking about it because it's looked at as dirty or fast or, you know, the worst of the worst, you know, unholy.
Well,
and it's a much needed conversation that
right
people in the church need to have with people our age.
Miss Ashley.
Yeah, I agree with her. I feel like they don't really discuss it, and when they do, it's always in a negative light. And I feel like they should better prepare us for what's to come instead of telling us basically not to do it. Right. And not really giving any good reasons why.
Facts.
So let me ask y'all a follow-up question. So when y'all, how do you think they treated teenagers or non-married people that they knew was having sex or ended up pregnant in church, in your experience? Denitra, you can answer that first.
I feel as if they look down upon them, like they, or they would show them like fake support, but then like talk about them, or they would simply just stop coming to church because they feel as if they were just not living right or being looked at as if they do live right.
Okay, Ashley.
Yeah, like she said, I think they used those girls, and not really with men either, but like say if a girl popped up and she was pregnant, it was like they made her the example. Like, if you do this, you're going to end up like this, and you don't want to be like that.
Right.
That sounds like church people, though. It does. I'm be honest.
We always say it seems like church people are probably the most judgmental people,
mm-hmm.
even though, and like we said before, they church people often hold this higher morality. That they think it gives them the ability to look down and judge other folks.
Like I always say, like when people are at their most vulnerable state, that's when they go to church. When they're really dealing with issues going on in their lives, they go to church. And when you feel that backlash coming from the people that you're looking up to help you, and they basically like give you the cold shoulder, that makes you not want to come back. Simple
Facts.
As that.
Facts.
So I got a question for y'all. I'm going to start with Ashley. You can answer this first. Like, you being where you are now in life, like, how do you view sex, like, at this point in your life?
I think at this very point that now I'm ready to really just settle down and calm down. I feel like I'm very protective of myself and my peace, and I feel like if I sleep with somebody, that's going to interfere with that. So really, if we're not being very serious, like, if I'm really not about to give you a kid, you shouldn't be touching me. That's not that right now.
Okay. Let them know.
Okay. That's not that right now.
If we ain't having babies,
don't touch me.
Yeah, don't it's really a weight.
I respect it, though, definitely. Denitra, what you think?
Can you repeat the question?
How do you view sex at this point in your life?
How do I view?
Right. From like, just how do you view it from like, it could be from like past experiences or just how do you look at it now?
Of course, wait till marriage. If you're a virgin, wait till marriage.
Wait.
Don't have sex.
This is a public service announcement.
Yes. But I feel like if you shouldn't give your body up to someone who doesn't value it, who doesn't value you as a person, and neither to someone who doesn't have the same beliefs as you.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. How long does it take you to be able to like realize whether someone actually has those same values and beliefs?
Honestly, you know from the jump. You can tell from the jump. It's up to you whether you're going to, I don't know how to say it, like, either see the red flags and be like, all right, no, this isn't for me, or actually see that it is for you.
Some people can play the game real good, and they know how to play that role. That's why I asked, because I know a lot of people have different ways of being able to tell, but I hope y'all run away when y'all see that red flag,
Real. Some people can play it good, or some people just come out 100, just straight pressure, like, yeah, this is what we doing, this, that, and third, so definitely.
So let me ask y'all a question. Would you prefer a guy to just be upfront with y'all? Like, I think you're attractive.
Yes.
I want to have sex with you.
Yes. No, I would not want to say that.
So, who said no? Ashley? Was that Ashley?
I said yes.
Okay, so Denitra, you said no? So, what's the alternative?
I said no.
What's the alternative?
I
I feel like when you're first meeting me, sex should not be on your mind.
That's but not if even... it is, if it is, wouldn't you rather know that instead of them, you know?
Kind yeah, of I would rather. I would rather know that. But honestly, even if you knew that, it's up to you whether or not you allow it to happen.
This is true.
That's true. That's facts.
This is very true. So that's my question. So would you rather God be like, oh, I find you attractive and I'm sexually stimulated by you, so I want to have sex with you? Maybe not in those exact words.
That was a little strong.
He ain't going to come out and say it like that.
You never know, though. Facts. I got you.
So would you prefer it that way or like him acting like he want to get to know you and then eventually lead to sex?
Do you want to dig deeper in your study of Reformed theology? The All of Life for God podcast, presented by Reformation Heritage Books, offers you weekly sermons, audiobook chapters, and interviews that will help strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. So what are you waiting for? Just search All of Life for God wherever you get your podcast and start listening today.
Presented by Reformation Heritage Books.
Honestly, if a guy honestly told me that his first interest was to have sex with me, he would honestly get blocked, or simply I would not talk to him. Mm-hmm. But if I found that a guy was just trying to talk to me to have sex with me, I would honestly cut him off also. So
the end result is
it has to be a mutual feeling.
Right?
Sound like you're getting cut off either way.
I better say.
Sounds like.
So don't try.
Yeah, I feel like I would rather know your intentions in the beginning so we don't waste that time. Like, so you don't have to play with me. I'd rather you just tell me and let me handle it how I want to.
Right. It's like lying. You take away the option when you lie to me because you think I can't handle the truth. You take away the option to choose.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That makes sense.
I like both of the answers, to be honest.
Facts. Right. Two different views, but it both made sense.
So, based on our last episode, we touched on soul ties.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on soul ties. Do y'all have any opinions on soul ties? Ashley, you can go first.
I definitely agree that they are very real. Uh-huh. And I think that's something that as I was young, like when I was younger, that I should have been taught or prepared for. It's maybe by my mother. I don't know if a man can really explain that to his daughter the way the mother can, but I think they're very real. And sometimes that's all that really keeps you with somebody.
Ooh,
you think that it's a deep connection, but it's really just that you're tied to them because y'all have laid with each other.
Okay. I heard the scripture in there. Denitra?
I completely agree with her. She took the words right out of my mouth. So I'm just going to piggyback off what she said.
Let me ask y'all a question. Like, when did y'all learn about soul ties? Because I know for me, I learned about it like about 2 years ago. Like, when did y'all learn about it?
Same. I think mine is recent too, just realizing like, why are me and this person even still having conversation? Like, when you really get down to why we're still involved with each other, that's what it came down to.
Mm-hmm.
I recently heard about it. At first, I was like, I don't think I really believe in it, but then as I've had experiences with people, it kind of, I could kind of see what a soul tie was myself from experience.
And I think it goes even deeper than that, because just like when you around and when you with someone for so long, you start picking up their mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is, substituting the word soul ties, people just use toxic. Like, we have a toxic relationship. That's all.
That's 100% a soul tie.
Yeah, literally.
Yes.
So, let me ask y'all one more question to touch on.
Go ahead, ask them the questions, Cliff. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, I got 37 questions. So, like you mentioned earlier, you feel like a person's ready to, like, you're ready to give your body to that person. Like, what are those signs? Like, what are those moments in time where you're like, okay, I feel comfortable having sex with this guy because I think he's going to cherish, you know, your body, your spirituality, your mental, and your physical? Denitra?
I just feel like, you know, first, I feel like it could be different for everyone, mm-hmm. but I feel like you know when the time is right. I feel like it shouldn't be forced. It shouldn't be peer pressure, like, no, let's just do it. Even if, like, if your gut's telling you don't do it, don't do it. But if your, I wouldn't say your heart, but if your heart's saying do it, it should honestly, having sex should be something that you have out of love and not just lust and desire. Mm.
That makes sense.
Ashley?
I think it's after you just kind of, well, me personally, like when I see how a person moves and I see how they handle me, you just get more comfortable, or you don't get comfortable, and then that's when you can kind of say like, okay, I can do this with that person.
Okay,
sounds good.
That makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, everything is a level of comfort, because sex, like telling your secrets, makes you vulnerable. And it gives somebody access to a part of you that you don't give access to everybody.
Everybody,
so yeah. It's definitely a level of comfort there.
I got another question for y'all, Denitra. You can start. How you think you're gonna like present sex to your kids? Like, how you feel like you just gonna describe it to them, or the information you're gonna give about it?
That was for Denitra.
Oh, wait, I couldn't hear.
Oh. he got the kitty mic, that's why.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, I was asking, how you think you're going to present sex to your kids? Like, what information, or how you going to, you know what I mean, explain it to them?
Also, can I tag on a question to that? We also had a debate on the last episode, like, that we would present sex differently. Well, I said I would present sex differently if I was talking to my son. Rather than talking to my daughter, can y'all also answer whether you guys would handle the situation differently? It's a two-part question.
So I feel as if I'll have regular talks with my kids about sex and relationships so that they are prepared if they do choose to have sexual relationships or just relationships in general. And I would say that if I were to have a son, I would give advice to my son about how to treat women, mm-hmm. and how to go about sexual relationships with women differently than how I would talk to my daughter about it. Because there's just certain things that a guy should do, and that there's certain things that a woman should do.
I definitely agree with that, because, I mean, it's different sexes. Like, you can only speak to what you know of. Like, you can't really speak on a guy's perspective because you've never been a guy. But as a female, you can really give it to a cut and dry for your daughter. So that definitely makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All things Ashley?
I think with my kids, I would have to be just very honest with them. And like she said, kind of prepare them for it instead of making it sound so negative. Because I feel like when you tell your kid something negative, like a little daughter, and then she gets her first boyfriend, and he's talking sweet to her, she's like, oh, it doesn't sound as bad as my dad told me, so let me go ahead and just do this. So I feel like I should prepare her. Definitely different than my son, because I feel like women in sex is more emotional. And so I have to prepare her for the fact, like, okay, this young boy is thinking like this. He's not looking at this how you are. And then the same thing with the son, kind of let him know, like, you may be doing this physically, but this little girl is going to be emotional about it. So it's two different things with them.
Facts. Mm-hmm. It almost made me want to cry, Ashley, when I was talking about this on the podcast, thinking about having to have this talk with Brielle and Soraya. So I may need your help. Me and my girl might need your help.
Me and Raven will pull up and talk to them.
Okay.
You might not even want to talk.
Nah, because I'm scared. You feel me? Because it's like, I look at her as, well, I look at both of them as like my little princesses. So thinking about eventually they're going to grow older and we're going to have that talk, it kind of hurts my heart a little bit, just a tad bit.
But in that sense, you could basically kind of do like, tell them, if this man doesn't treat you like the princess that I treat you like, he should not, you know, you should not give him that. So in the same way, you can kind of use that, I think.
Yeah, well, my daughters, both of my daughters are not allowed to date until they're 30 years old, so I have that talk then.
You're that dad. You're that dad. You don't have boyfriends, and you ain't even know it. So, let me ask y'all this question, back to the church perspective. Why do y'all think they treat a girl getting pregnant different from a guy getting a girl pregnant in church?
While y'all thinking about the question, I have a little transparent moment right now. When I was 16 years old, in high school, I say probably about sophomore year in high school, I had got a girl pregnant, and I felt like it was carried very bad within the church, because I was brought in front of the whole entire church and basically like looked upon as that young guy that got a girl pregnant. I mean, with the pastor, he had all the men from the church to come up there and pray for me and all that. But I think after the fact, like just being on the forefront and everyone looking at me, like it kind of like steered me away from ever going to church again. Like it took me a while to really process my mind of, all right, I'm going to church for God and not for the people, because like me being 16, like I was scared. I was already scared. But then to be brought into that moment of being in front of the whole congregation and being like, yeah, this brother got this girl pregnant at 16 years old, like it really tore me apart for real. It really stirred me away.
And that sucks. Because I feel like there's nothing like that. Teen pregnancies have double standards. Mm-hmm. I feel like the girl is given more weight than the guy.
That's the truth.
Because the girl is the one that has to walk around with a stomach.
Right.
The guy is free to do whatever he chooses to do, mm-hmm. whenever he wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Most teen dads aren't taking care of their kids, because from experience, when I was in high school, I've seen a couple of people get pregnant, and it definitely like ruined their reputation in school, and I feel like it made people look down on them. A lot of girls end up dropping out of school because of how they're viewed. Within the church, I've never really experienced seeing someone like our age in church pregnant, so I wouldn't be able to tell you a lot about that.
Facts.
I think like what she said, the man is not really in the forefront when somebody comes up pregnant. It's like, you know that it happened, but he's not the one. It's just like, okay, well, now you want it to be grown, you got to be a man. But then the girl, it's more like, why did you do this? You have your whole life. And it's just so much pressure on us, because I mean, now we're a mother, now we are a real woman, and it's not time for us to be a woman, but it's time for them to be a man. So I'm not sure why they would handle it like that in the church, and I don't think they should. I think they should be more supportive. Like Trey said, like when you go to church, that's your church family. You expect them to handle you a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they do that.
Definitely fair. That's definitely fair.
Yeah, that sucks, but that's the reality of how a lot of times the situation is handled in church.
Right.
Nobody looks twice at the guy that got the girl pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody stares at the girl that got pregnant by the guy.
Facts.
And that's bad juju, but being that's the way society is set up. And that runs parallel with like the number of sex partners. A guy is looked at like that's the move. And then if a girl got the same number of sex partners, she looked at completely different, like mm-hmm. a tragedy. But that's the society. And that narrative definitely needs to change. And
what I also think with church that's so messed up, the girls that do come out pregnant, it's like they don't want them to have the baby. But at the same time, if they ever thought of doing something like an abortion, they would say that that was wrong too. So y'all are really giving this young girl like no options. You're going to judge her either way.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
That is extremely true. Because I know, for a fact, I'm sure we all know, like, churches are very against abortions and killing the babies. But at the same time, they're very against you actually being a teen mom or having sex and being pregnant without being married. So it's like it's a double standard at that point. I got one more question for you guys. How would you present? I mean, how would you tell your younger self about sex? And Ashley, you can answer that first.
I think I would just tell myself to be more aware of what kind of situation sex itself can put you in. It's not always like a romantic, loving situation. It really can put you in situations that are not favorable to you. And I feel like I was never mindful of that. And it's not always going to be presented that way. So I think that's something I wish I would have known when I was like a little younger.
Facts.
Fact.
So, Denitra, you can answer that question as well.
I feel as if like sexual intercourse should be considered a holy act between a husband and a wife, but I feel like sex does, teens do have sex, so it's not like it can be avoided.
Right.
So I feel as if people should talk about it more, and I feel like more light should be shined upon that topic.
That's very true. Just to echo your sentiments, both of you guys' sentiments, the more knowledge you know about the situation, the more prepared you are to make a conscious, wise decision about if you was to have sex or not. And like y'all been saying this whole show, it's not taught enough from an early age. I don't know what the right age is, because that's dependent on the child and dependent on the parent.
Some people grow up a little bit faster than others, for sure.
That's the truth.
But at the end of the day, I feel like as us, I mean, I know I have kids. Cliff, you have a child. Being parents, when y'all do have kids, that's something that we do need to teach at a young age to correct this and nip it in the bud as early as possible. Because all of us on the line right now is basically saying we wasn't really taught that as a kid. So, like, giving that information to your kids is definitely key.
That's the truth.
Definitely key.
And it, like I said, it just prepares them better. And that's in everything in life. We oftentimes bubble wrap situations for our kids and even for our friends. You know what I'm saying? And, but oftentimes that's not the reality of the situation. So we constantly bubble wrap sex. We bubble wrap racism. We bubble wrap just everything just because that's how society taught us to do. Oh, don't talk to your kids about sex till they're 17, 18.
It's too late then.
It's too late, right? Because they've been learning about sex since they were 6 years old. And it gives them this false perception of what sex is and a sexual encounter. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to better prepare them. You got anything else, Reed?
I'm good, man. I appreciate y'all for coming on. Now, definitely taking the time out y'all's busy schedules to come on here. Definitely.
Facts. I definitely appreciate y'all. Do y'all want to shout out y'all's social medias or whatever you guys got as far as endeavors and all that? I'll let Ashley go first.
Yes, y'all can follow me on Instagram at All Things Ashley, and I also have a YouTube that is All Things Ashley. So yeah, y'all go ahead and follow me on there.
Follow.
Thank y'all for having me. I really enjoyed this experience. I really love Saved and Such. And I guess I could drop my Instagram. It's prettyp.nk. But that's it.
And once y'all see the flyers, don't go in the DMs either. My phone.
Yeah. Sliding.
My phone. It wouldn't laugh.
Maybe it was about to be busted.
Facts.
Busted.
Heard you on Saved and Such.
Are you off?
I'm Brother Tony.
Let me talk to you real quick, young darling. Hey, look, man, we really appreciate y'all coming on.
Facts.
And it's nice to hear from a female perspective about stuff we're talking about. It's like Trey said, we're not females, so we can't possibly understand and perceive what a female goes through when it comes to growing up in a sexual culture and how the conversation is had with them. Because they often get the short end of the stick when it comes to sex and things of that nature. So, again, Thank y'all for coming on. We really appreciate it. Y'all want to say anything else before y'all go?
No.
you ain't about to keep putting my business in the streets.
Like I said, let me ask y'all one more question before y'all get off. It's a lot going on in the world. Just give a little bit of encouragement. It don't got to be long. Just encourage somebody right now.
Ashley?
I would just tell y'all to stay prayed up and realize that life is so short. So the things that you're going through, it could be much worse. And just be grateful to be here.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Pastor Ashley.
Denitra?
I agree with Ashley. You know, put God first. Take your time. Be still. You know, plan ahead. And just, you know, have a good outlook on life. Be positive.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thanks, y'all. So, thank y'all for coming again. And we'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye.
Peace.
All right, bye, y'all.
So what you just heard was an interview we did with Ashley and Denitra. They were our special guests for today's episode. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about sex part two. So what y'all think of that interview?
I think it was super dope, man. Like hearing a female perspective. Mm-hmm. Like I know us as dudes, we do the best that we can to bridge the gap between females and males. But it's like to actually hear that female perspective and see what females actually have in their mind and being able to feed off their energy was truly amazing, man. I'm glad we was able to encounter this for real.
Yeah, like he said, you know what I mean? Definitely was just great just to hear the other side's perspective. It's nothing wrong with having these conversations. In fact, we need to start having these conversations as Christians nowadays. Start having real conversations, not, you know what I mean, trying to bubble things up like you said. When Denitra was getting off, she said, be still. And the scripture that came to my mind was Psalms 46:10. And it says, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? I'm going to just lay that on y'all. But yeah, man, that's all I got.
Yeah, and it's, like we said, sex is one of those gray area topics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's guidelines in the Bible. You see guidelines from growing up in society's guidelines. But you got to find your groove in it, regardless of if you choose to have sex or not. You got to find the comfortable spot for you. And, it's laid out in the Bible in several different ways. I'm not about to sit here and quote 97 scriptures. But to Rick's points, be still. Mm-hmm. And that echoes to every part of your life. Take a step back, look at the situation, assess the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, y'all got anything else?
Yeah, and I also think it just really just shined the light that as Christians, as people that go to church, as parents, we need to do a better job of informing our kids and talking to our kids about sex. All of us that was on the line, like we basically grew up just going through the motions. You feel me? Like we just heard all the negatives that involve sex, but not the positives, like creating beautiful kids and everything else that comes along with it and being one with someone. So, as parents, as Christians, we need to, walk the walk, but also talk the talk.
Literally talk the talk.
Walk it like you talk it. Simple as that, for real.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. That's all I got. Rick, you got anything, G?
Nah, I'm going to let Brother Trey close us out.
All right, everybody, bow your heads. Lord God, I ask that you touch all of us while we go our separate ways. Thank you for having Ashley and Denitra on the line with us, giving a female perspective, Lord God. I ask that you just touch our lives, Lord God. Give us increase, Lord God. Allow us to go far into this journey of saved and such, Lord God. And allow us to just walk the walk as well as talking the talk, Lord God. And I ask that you just keep your angels surrounded around us, Lord God. Allow 2021 to be new, fresh and restored, Lord God, and just allow us to walk in the right direction that you are pointing to us. And I love you, Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, for all things, big and small, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Cliff Anderson.
Tariq Coley.
It's your boy Trey, and I'm also about to say, follow us on all major platforms at Saved and Such, and also follow us on all social media platforms at Saved and Such. That's SavedNSuch. Tariq, what you got to say?
Man, play that outro we love.
Let's go.